Well, Dennis O'Carroll is a lucky guy. When he goes to work, he gets to play in a sandbox. But he's not just moving dirt for fun. It's all part of the research he's doing at the University of Western Ontario. He's looking at ways to clean groundwater before it gets to the surface, and he's using nanotechnology to do it. Nanomaterials are only 1/1,000,000th of a meter in size. O'Carroll has just received over $250,000 to build a new lab to further his studies. And Mr. O'Carroll joins us on the line now from his office in London. Hello.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Give me an example of how groundwater commonly gets contaminated in the first place.
Well, it could be anything from, let's say, an old gas station, and they have an underground storage tank that has leaked, or it was very common, you know, years ago and legal for, let's say, dry cleaners and companies like that to dispose of their waste, just throw it out their back in their backyard, and it would gradually seep down beneath the ground into the subsurface.
Mm. Well, I guess, expand on this nanomaterials, 1/1,000,000th of a meter in size.
Yeah, they're really small, but they're very, very reactive. Because of their size, they start to exhibit properties that we don't, if you know, let's say it was 1,000 times bigger, we wouldn't get the same type of properties. It's a source of tremendous scientific interest, is why they're so reactive and so powerful.
So how do you use nanomaterials to clean up contamination like that?
Well, what you do is you pump them into the ground, and they flow with the water, and then when they see this contamination, the goal is that they'll go to the contaminated area and attack it, and then render the contaminated zone clean, and then have the byproducts sort of so something that we could drink, or something much, much less toxic than what's existing in the ground right now.
So you aim these nanomaterials at the groundwater, and it would just kind of head there.
That's right, and that is the challenge, actually, is getting them to tailor them so that they actually do that. It's that's also a source of interest in my field.
Can you give me an idea of what a nanomaterial is?
Well, there's a wide variety of them. What we're interested in right now is carbon nanotubes. So those are really tubes, maybe 100 nanometers long and a few nanometers wide, just pure carbon. And that's one type of nanomaterial. Perhaps you've heard of a buckyball. They're developed maybe 20 years ago.
Okay.
And that was just a ball of carbon, like a sphere. And there's also nano iron, so just iron that's really, really small. And there's gold and there's titanium. There's all kinds of nanomaterials. And they each have their own purpose.
Where does the sandbox come into this?
Well, what we want to do is sort of replicate conditions in the field. Oftentimes what we do as scientists and engineers is we get these nanomaterials, we get them in a beaker under ideal conditions. And that's not exactly representative of what happens when, you know, in the ground. So we build these sandboxes, and we put sand in them, and then we contaminate them, artificially contaminate them with real waste. And then we want to pump in these nanomaterials and see if the behavior that we get in the test tubes or in the beakers actually are the same that we get in the sandboxes.
Mm. This process, I guess, is, usually when you get a contaminated site, you dig up all the material you think is contaminated and you ship it off somewhere. Is that to replace that? Is that to make it simpler?
Yeah, it's really expensive to do that, to dig it up, and it could also be, the waste can be very deep, and that may not be possible. So yeah, that is to replace that, and hopefully, also when you take that soil or whatever, you have to dispose of it somewhere, and it's still contaminated, so nobody wants to have that in the landfill in their backyard or behind their house.
Mm.
So the goal is to eliminate the waste, and to transform it into less hazardous materials.
And are there any byproducts left behind?
Yeah, there will be, and ideally the byproducts would just be carbon dioxide and water. That's the ultimate goal. And oftentimes, we also want to make sure that the byproducts are not more hazardous than the actual contaminant.
Hmm.
And methanol, butane, ethane, those are some byproducts that you might see. And they exist in the environment, and they're much less toxic than some of these very hazardous chemicals that we have in the ground right now.
So I guess how far are you away, would you say, from this being a commercial application?
Well, it's probably 3 years away from actually being applied. It is applied right now, sometimes people ground up these particles and flush them into the ground, but we really, current research doesn't believe that it's very effective.
Okay.
So we want to make it much, much better. You know, if you pump these nanomaterials into the ground and they don't go anywhere, if they do go somewhere, if they don't go to the contaminated zone, that's not going to help. So that's really the focus of our research right now.
Well, good luck with it.
Thanks very much, Mark. I appreciate it.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Dennis O'Carroll is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Western Ontario in London. We reached him at his new laboratory for the development of innovative groundwater remediation strategies.